This is the Faith Conversations podcast. Here, we bring people of faith to the table for honest and authentic conversations about personal faith journeys and what it is like to have a personal relationship with God. Hi, friends. Welcome to the Faith Conversations podcast. This is Jessica Cabrera, your host. I'm so excited to be here with you today with my friend, Deborah White. You guys, I'm telling you, you're in for a treat. Her journey and her heart and her personality are just so fun and really deep and really amazing. And I can't wait to hear what she's going to say because she has so many different things that she could talk about in her life. Obviously, I've known Deb for a while and I got to know her whenever I learned about her advocacy work for children who are victims of human trafficking. And I learned what she had been doing through her faith and through her career to be able to help vulnerable children. And I was just fascinated by her story. And so we have had deep prayer time together over this. We have really connected over this. And I'm sure she'll talk to you a little bit about it today, but that's how we really connected on a deep level for the first time. And I'm really excited to have her to talk to you about her faith journey today. So Deb, thanks so much for being here.
Hey, Jessica. It's absolutely my pleasure to be here. I'm so happy and excited. And that was quite an intro. So try to live up to the hype.
Yeah. Well, I don't think you'll have any trouble living up to the hype, honestly. Okay. So I would love for everyone to get kind of a snapshot of your background. So if you can talk to us about your personal and your faith journey background, we can kind of get started so everybody learns a little bit about Deb and where Deb's coming from.
Yeah, so I would have to say, we'll start with my faith journey. That really took a lot of twists and turns. Like, I wish that I could say, like, oh, I had this big moment and, you know, coming to Jesus, and it was just so amazing. And it was in so many ways. But like I said, it was like a curvy road that just kind of took a lot of twists and turns. So I had really not grown up in a religious household of any sort. I went to church for the first time that I can remember when I was about 7 years old. And that was because I really liked, you know, organized stuff, you know, clubs and things like that. And I had a friend, you know, at school that invited me to her church. And I was like, that sounds fun. Yeah, that's a thing we do on Sundays. Cool. Let's go. Let's do this. So I went and I fell in love. I love learning. So I went to Sunday school and I thought it was the best thing ever. You know, there was, you know, coloring and learning about, you know, Jesus and all this stuff. So I enjoyed it from the start. I was drawn to it. So obviously, it was God drawing me to him. You know, I didn't know it at the time as a child. But anyhow, I went to that church for a couple of years, you know, and then my mother came home and told my dad one day, hey, this lady knocked on my door and now, you know, we're all about Jehovah, you know, so she's a Jehovah's Witness now.
Oh, okay.
And my dad is like, you're not going to tell me that I can't give my child a birthday present or a Christmas gift. You know, I don't know what you're talking about, but, you know, you've lost it with this, you know, whole, you know, Jehovah Witness thing. Anyways, that didn't last long. My mother, you know, was shaken out of that a little bit by a stepsister of mine. And she said, you've got to come to this other church. So she took us to McLean Bible Church when I was about 10 years old and we started going there. And my mom fell in love with the church. And so, you know, just the love of Christ, the people, it was really great. So that was kind of like the, you know, turn number one or two in my life anyways, going to, you know, non-denominational Christian church. As a teenager, you know, I was just like this awkward, I thought awkward, right? Didn't really quite fit the mold of like, you know, the good church people, right? The people that I saw getting out of the minivan with their perfect families and, you know, their, you know, perfect hair. And, you know, all the stuff, you know, that I, you know, self-consciously said, hey, I don't have any of that stuff. And, you know, I don't really know what to talk about with these people. And, you know, I had a love for Jesus at that point, but I didn't really know how to connect with people. I just thought I was just awkward and just didn't fit the mold of what I thought, you know, and in my mind, like, I'm just like, I'm not perfect like these people, you know. Little did I know, of course, you know, we know nobody's perfect, you know, everybody, you know, kind of puts on their Sunday face and attends, you know, but there's real problems and real issues, you know, going on. But in my mind, I couldn't live up to like what, you know, these people were. I was literally, at this point, you know, my father had passed away, because shortly after, you know, we started attending, McLean Bible Church, my father passed away. So I was about almost,
young.
I was 10 years old. My father died of a heart attack.
A big change in life.
Yes. Drastic change. And so, you know, it affected me in the way that I think it affects a lot of kids. You know, there's, you know, definitely some sadness, depression. And, you know, I got into stuff that wasn't great. You know, I started smoking at a really young age. I think I was like 13 when I started smoking cigarettes. So when I'm going to class, you know, on Wednesday night, you know, I'm, you know, taking what's supposedly a bathroom break, and I'm, you know, hitting the wood line, you know, and I'm smoking cigarettes, you know. yeah, didn't fit that mold, but there were some really sweet girls, you know, that accepted me.
I just want to say, kids who smoke can go to church. Yeah. It's okay.
Absolutely. Right? Like, absolutely. Yeah. Please, 13-year-olds, don't take this as an advocacy for smoking. But that was me. Teenager smoking in the church parking lot, just not really fitting in. I still felt, you know, welcomed, but kind of searching, you know? So I got married young. So I'm just going to fast forward a little bit from 13, because it wasn't much longer before I got married. Or had a baby and then got married, let's say. And that's my husband, Freddie. We've been together for about 27 years now. But yeah, he was in the Army. So went straight from high school, went to the Army. We were a young, you know, Army family. And, you know, before long, I had, you know, three kids, you know, early 20s. Kind of did things, I think, the non-conventional way. Eventually went back to school, you know, got my degree, finished my degree online. Freddie was super supportive. I mean, we were doing all the things. I feel like we were, sadly, I feel like I was a little bit of a Sunday Christian, though. You know, I would attend church on Sundays and take notes and, you know, do all the right things, you know, and, you know, raise my children, you know, going to church. But I don't think my heart was fully turned yet. And that's part of the, you know, the twists and turns that I'm talking about, you know, is that I felt like I had to keep rededicating my life to Christ, because I didn't, that transformation that's supposed to happen when you're a Christian, I didn't feel like that had happened, you know. I had given my life to Christ, you know, when I was a little girl, and then again at like a junior high retreat, and, you know, then again, you know, after, you know, you make some mistakes and screw up, and, you know, you come back to church and you're like, okay, Jesus, this time I'm really serious. I'm really going to clean up my act. I'm going to, you know, be all in for you, you know. And then I think I just was on this, you know, cycle where it's like I would feel really excited about living for the Lord, and then I would just disappoint him. I felt like I was disappointing him over and over again, you know. And I had grown up in a household where I really believed that respect and honor and earning things, you know, was the right way to live, you know. And I think that's just cultural, you know. I have a Hispanic background, you know, both of my parents are, you know, Spaniard and Argentinian. And so respect was a big thing in our household, right? And so I think I thought that I had to do all the right things in order to have the Lord love me, you know. And I felt like when I wasn't, you know, doing right, maybe, you know, he was mad at me, you know, or, you know. And it took a long time for me to really recognize that he can't possibly love me any more than he does right now. And it took many years for me to realize that, because I think I was just so busy trying to earn that. And I didn't have to, but I didn't know that at the time. It took me a long time to really learn that. And so that's why I say I was kind of, I feel bad, but I was really like this Sunday Christian that like was doing the right things on Sunday, you know, and maybe back to cursing on Monday, unfortunately. And I think I lived that cycle for a while. It wasn't until, really wasn't until, my husband and I, you know, hit a really rough patch in our marriage. Sadly, almost, you know, completely tore apart our marriage, the two of us. I was really a workaholic. I was working really, really hard. I worked for the Army for about 10 years as a contractor and then as a government employee. And then I was going to school, right? Because I had to, I was in a contracting position and I had to have my degree and it wasn't finished with my degree. So I was working full time and I was going to school full time. And
the three kids.
Yes, had the three kids.
Yeah.
We just hit a patch where we didn't even know who we were anymore, you know, together. I was working so much and he was working so much and we spent so much time apart. And eventually, like, you know, stuff really hit the fan. And, you know, like I said, we really almost, you know, blew completely the marriage. So we went to McLean Bible Church and got some tough love from a pastor, you know, and, you know, explained to us, you know, that, you know, Jesus can redeem, you know, what, you know, we've broken. But he said something that really stuck with me, you know, because I was in tears. I was falling apart. It was a really extremely hard time in my life, as you can imagine. And he said to me, Deb, even if this marriage falls apart, so what? And I was kind of floored by that.
Wow.
Like, what do you mean, so what? He says, yeah. You know, he's like, even if your marriage falls apart and this guy walks away and you're by yourself, he's like, are you really by yourself? And I looked at him, you know, with tears in my eyes, and I'm just like, no, I have Jesus, you know. You know, and he's like, yeah. He's like, do you think the Lord's going to abandon you? And I said, no, I don't. But it's just, I still feel this crushing pain of loss. And I don't know how to process through that. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to deal with that. And I didn't. And another pastor that we saw there recommended Jimmy Evans, you know. I'll just say that because Pastor Jimmy Evans, you know, a lot of his life's work is helping, you know, marriages, you know, recover. And we listened together, you know, my husband and I, we listened together to those messages and it really helped to heal us. But it wasn't until we came to Burke Community Church. We were searching for something, I think, that we weren't finding, you know, at the church we were at. And we were just so amazed. Well, it was me initially. I was in a really desperate place and looking for support, guidance, direction. And I found it here at Burke Community Church. The people were so loving and so kind. And I was brand new to this church. I wasn't coming to this church. I came and I was really desperate. And I said, I just need to talk to a pastor. And so I did, and I came, and I got counseling, and I met a wonderful woman, you know, in the women's ministry from years ago. She's not here anymore, but she walked me through one of the most painful times in my life, and she helped me to heal and to forgive and to walk through something I really feel like I could not have gotten through without her. And God was so good in providing this church and the people and the love and the Holy Spirit, you know, to hold my hand, you know, during a time when I was really falling apart. And then eventually my husband followed suit, you know, and he started communing with men and he had never done that before. And our lives were completely changed. And I can tell you now on this side of it, you know, 27 years in, right? This has been probably at least, you know, 10 years or more now that we are strong. We are rooted in the Lord.
You guys are the cutest. Seriously. You guys are so cute.
Thank you so much. Thank you. You know, we are best friends. We can't live without each other. You know? And so I would really just, at this point, I really just want to like offer that little bit of advice to anyone that's going through something really hard like that. Don't give up and don't give in. and the Lord is with you. He is for you. He will transform your life, and he will do miracles in your marriage that you can't even fathom if you'll just let him, if you'll just trust him, if you'll take your brokenness and give it over to God every single day, like I had to, right? When you're going through something that hard, you give it to him, and then sometimes you take it back. A lot of times you take it back and you're like, okay, I have to give it back to him because I can't handle this on my own. You can't. You cannot. We're not made to.
Yeah.
And it's those broken times that bring us to our knees, and those desperate times where we've got nothing else. And I almost feel like God's saying, okay, baby girl, you've done everything you can. You're ready to give it to me? And I gave it to him, and I kept giving it to him. And I'm so grateful that I did. And I stopped trying to change my husband in this process, in this process of learning to forgive and love and grow and really experience God. I learned that I can only be responsible for me and changing myself. I can't change him. And I had to let go and try to not do that anymore.
Yeah. You know, something that I can remember, I've been married for 22 years. And when we were 7 years into our marriage, I hit a wall of sorts where it was kind of a wall where I, up until that point, I had been trying to like keep in my mind, I was trying to keep everything like working well, but really I was just trying to control everything.
Yeah.
And so the thing that I realized when I was going to the Lord during this juncture, the Lord like hit me upside the head with this message that I have kept to this day. And you want to hear it?
Yes,
here it
please.
Is. I am not my husband's Holy Spirit. Okay.
So the truth.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, I don't know, guys, if you can hear it or not, but before Deb told that story, she was talking about this faith that was kind of there but not there, and it was the Bible refers to it on kind of sandy ground, you know? And then at the end of that story, you heard the Deb that I know, who was just like completely, deeply convicted about God's presence and goodness and his faithfulness. And it was in that season of your life, he planted roots of faith.
Yes.
And you went from being on this kind of slidey ground where you just had this superficial level of root that was just easy to kind of pluck at any point in time, to suddenly roots just dug deep into the ground. They grasped at the things underneath the surface and they held on tight. And those roots have now really sprout a solid tree of faith in your life, you know? And I know you as that person. But now I don't love hearing that it was so hard, but I love hearing how God did a beautiful redemptive work in your life during a time when, we have to be honest here, most people turn to other things at that point and at that kind of juncture. Most people, I mean, they might turn to alcohol, they might turn to, you know, continuous infidelity, they might turn to divorce, they might turn to, even just like checking out of life, you know, just total deep depression because you just check out completely and don't, you know. And it sounds to me like you guys went to the church to find support. You knew that you could only turn to God because there's nowhere else to turn.
Yes.
And then he began a really meaningful work in your life through that season.
Yes. So it's something at the time, you're going through it and you think, you know, you really do go through that depression where you think you're going to die. Like, you know,
light at the end of the tunnel.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's over. Right.
But God had a hold of me even then, you know, when I was falling apart, and he used that very painful experience to turn it into something so beautiful. I mm-hmm. don't even know. I can say it. I can say this on this side of it now. I don't even know if we would have the blessed, beautiful marriage that we have mm-hmm. if we hadn't gone through mm-hmm. something so hard that almost ripped us apart mm-hmm. and ripped our family apart. Mm-hmm. We value it so much more.
Yeah.
It's something worth fighting for that mm-hmm. we have fought for. And I wouldn't change our story, as mm-hmm. painful as it is.
Right.
I wouldn't change our story because we treasure what we have now. Mm-hmm. We know that there's nothing better. And if it can help someone else mm-hmm. to realize, you know, that they need to fight like heck for what they have. And the grass is not greener. I've heard this before. The mm-hmm. grass ain't greener. You just need to water your lawn. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. Take care of what you have. Don't give up. God has no limits. He is limitless in what he'll do in your life if you will just let him. You have to let him. Mm-hmm. And that analogy that you gave of the tree,
yeah,
that is exactly right. You just need the faith of a mustard seed, the tiny, tiniest mm-hmm. little bit of faith. God can work with that. You just need to believe him. You just need mm-hmm. to trust him. You just need to give it to him and keep giving it to him every single day. You know, when you take stuff back, just keep giving it to him. But you really do only need that mustard seed of faith. He will work with that. You just mm-hmm. need to come to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a beautiful way to be able to share with us who God is and what God can do in our life. Thank you for being vulnerable to talk about that. And you and Freddie are so cute, by the way. So I know you. I already said it, but I'm just going to say it again because this couple is just so fun. And when people are around them, they just smile and they're just like, God, that couple's so cute. And so knowing that it was born mm-hmm. out of such hardship, I think is even just more beautiful. So thank I'm going to switch gears with you for a second, because I said at the beginning of the podcast that when you and I met, you had something pretty big going on in your life. And you grew in your career and in your faith into an incredible advocate for children who are victims of trafficking. And such an incredibly vulnerable population who are, you know, just thank God that there are people like you out there that are advocating for them and looking out for them. I honestly know that God is advocating for these children through you, amen. Through your story. So would you share with us, where have you seen God be evident through your work with fighting for children who are victims of trafficking?
Yeah, thank you for asking about that, Jessica. I know that we've prayed about
this.
Yeah,
we have.
We've seen God come through in mm-hmm. the most miraculous ways that we could never possibly expect. So, well, really, where to start? I never expected to be in a position, you know, where I am advocating on behalf of trafficked children. That's not, you know, what I do. You mm-hmm. know, I, you know, my career is mostly contracting acquisition, you know, for the government. And during the summer of 2021, I was detailed to the Health and Human Services Office of Refugee Resettlement. I'm fluent in Spanish, and I have some project management skills, you know, that were helpful for them. And so I was selected to go to Pomona, California to, you know, interview children. And one of the stories that's so traumatic that I won't repeat here, but
yeah.
It was such a traumatic story right. about what this young boy had gone through that I just couldn't believe what I was hearing. And so I went into the bathroom, mm-hmm. You know, and just cried it out to the Lord. I was in a bathroom stall, you know, on this, you know, government facility, you mm-hmm. know, processing these children. And I was in the stall crying because I just couldn't imagine that little, you know, mm-hmm. human beings are going through this. I cried out to God and I said, you know, God, you're seeing this. You love these children. I don't understand. Why aren't you doing something? Please do something, you know? And, you know, it was almost like, I mean, I didn't hear God audibly, but, you know, he spoke to my spirit. Mm-hmm. He spoke to my spirit and he was like, I did do something. That's why you're there. You're the something.
Oh my gosh.
You know, so.
Wow.
You know.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
Because I remember that it was like this. It was just this awakening
yes.
that you were there for a reason. And then that kind yes. of catapulted you yes. into this advocacy journey. So thank you for going back to that moment. Now we'll yeah. go ahead and fast forward that you were advocating on Capitol Hill yes. and these two children, Rebecca and David, were just in your line of sight. Like you knew that they were out there somewhere.
Yes.
And guys, please understand, hundreds of children out there, but these two children, she knew them by name. She knew that they were out there. She did not know where they were.
Yes.
And they became kind of like the children that she knew, if we can find Rebecca and David, we can find anyone.
Yes. Yes.
You know, if we can find Rebecca and David, we can rescue hundreds of kids.
Yes.
And so they were kind of her inspiration in her advocacy journey. And she mentioned a minute ago about praying. We actually had a in-person event where Deb and I were there together, and people were so moved by her story that we held like a prayer meeting at the end of an impromptu, unplanned prayer yeah. meeting over these two children, and prayed specifically for God to identify. He knew their location, so for God to help people identify their location and to bring them out of that darkness. And so I'll come back to you, Deb. So tell us more about what you saw God do there.
Yeah. So absolutely just blew me away. Incredible. To my knowledge, you know, law enforcement packages, you know, that I had put together, you know, that through Capitol Hill, through, you know, the senators, their staff and everything, you know, went to FBI and Homeland Security and everything. As far as we know, like they never actually went after, you know, these children. But I had a friend, you know, who was self-funded looking for these kids. He went on his dime with the addresses that I had provided him and went and found these kids.
Wow.
And called me and said, "You won't believe it, but he's like, I didn't find the trafficker, but I found the trafficker's brother." And he was really angry at him. And he gave me all the information that I needed to find Rebecca and David. And he's like, "And we've found them." It was a miracle from God, you know, that they were there, that we would find these two kids out of, you know,
the needle in the haystack,
millions right, yeah. and millions mm-hmm. of people in America, right? And hundreds of thousands of kids, you know, that
who have alternative identities,
exactly.
who are living with people who are lying, who,
yes,
yeah, exactly.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. So, yes, like a needle in a haystack. And we found them. And it was really the most beautiful reunion, you know, and just to know that they were now safe. We were praying for these kids by
yes,
name.
We were.
And God came in and moved in the most mm-hmm. miraculous way. I just want to share that they spent Christmas with us this past
Isn't
year.
Isn't that amazing? So, like,
that Guys, is the listen, goodness of God.
Deb texted me a picture of her with, so Rebecca and David's pictures were on a PowerPoint screen
yes.
whenever she told her story at this in-person event. And then after the event, we prayed with their pictures up on the screen. So I knew what they looked like. And then in December, she sends me a picture of her family at Christmas, and Rebecca and David are in the picture. I was yes. like, they're in your living room.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It was amazing. So praise God that
praise
they were found.
God.
And I also think that it is a testament to the fact that God is advocating for these children
yes.
through people like you and the others that you've been collaborating with on
yes.
this very, very, difficult quest
yes.
to find not only these two children, but many, many, many children. So thank you so much for your heart, the heart that God is giving you, and the way that you've been just stewarding the burden
yeah.
that he's given you. You know what I mean? In order to advocate for them. Well, clearly he has now cultivated just this vibrant faith within you. I know
yes.
that not only from this conversation, but from my time with you and the fact that you have a deep conviction of who he is and what he's capable of on earth. And I wish we had time to tell even more stories. But before we go, would you spend a minute just to let, if we have listeners that are here with us right now that maybe are just struggling to believe at this point in their life, or maybe they're listening and they're questioning what we're talking about, what would you say to them?
I would say that we serve a God that has no limits. He has no limit. I don't know if I can even do justice by saying those words correctly, but God, don't put limits on God. Don't put limits on God, because he is limitless in what he can do. And if you let him, if you just trust him, he will blow you away every single time. He loves you so much. He wants to bless you. He wants to be there for you, but you have to let him. Mm-hmm. And it really is that simple. It really is just that phrase. What is it? Let go and let God.
Let go and let God.
Just let him. If I can just leave you with one of my life verses. I have so many, but I had to pick one. So it's 2 Corinthians 12:8-9. And it's Paul saying, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me.
Amen. Amen. Beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing your life journey with us, and the way that God has shown up in your life and anchored your faith. Thank you for being with us.
Oh my gosh, thank you.
Go to the description of today's episode to find more information about what we discussed. If you like this podcast, please click follow, share it with a friend, or leave us a review. And get excited, because new episodes release every week.